We've talked about too high. Now we're going to talk about single high. Single high defense, specifically in relation to the single high there being the safety, right? Single high safety. When I see this, I'm at home watching and I notice that my team's defense is in single high. What are some things that would go through your mind if you pick that and you notice that you clock that your defense is in single high? What are some of the things running through your mind in terms of maybe their strategy or their tactics?
The first thing you're thinking is that they are sending numbers down into the box in all likelihood to outnumber the run game. So it becomes less efficient for the offense to run the ball. That'd be the first thought, I would think. It's like a primary reason why a safety would drop down and not stay back. Also, for ULC, if you told me, like, oh, they're playing in single high this game, I would either think, oh, that's cute, LC is trying to diagnose coverages from his couch, or very sharp eye, LC, because it has gotten extremely hard to tell when a defense is doing one or the other between the broadcast angle and all the disguise teams use. Texas's very own coach, Steve Sarkisian, was noting that he said, this will get more into the weeds than we need to dive into, but he said, I can't always tell the difference between on the sideline between week three buzz, which is a type of single high coverage, and quarters, which is a type of two high coverage. He's like, so if I can't tell with my expertise and years of doing this from the sideline without people trying to hunt me, how do I expect my quarterback to tell on the field which one it is? So I'm very impressed if you're actually right, LC.
Well, okay, great. I mean, but again, this was purely hypothetical, and I think we can all assume that I wasn't going to be in this particular instance. But it's also not common for me to call you in the middle of a game just to point out one thing that I've noticed in a series of plays. But let's get into all the mechanisms of this from a top level. All right, Ian, here we are. Now we're in single high mofo, which is always a delight. Walk us through some single high mofo.
Single high mofk.
Oh, it's again, it's a vision thing. And it's not on that 2020. When you do that test, I think it's unfair to have O's and C's on the same line. I think that's some sort of diabolical corruption. But yes, mofuck.
Mofo, sing too high, mofo, is middle of field open. Because if you have two safeties back on either ends of the field, then there's no one in between them and the middle of the field is open. Especially if you're a quarterback and you're dropping back and you want to try to get a real quick sense of what coverage the other team is in, you could look into the middle of the field. And if there's not a safety there, it's probably a too high middle of the field open. And if there is a safety there, the middle of the field is, what does the C stand for? Closed.
Covered? Oh, closed.
Covered. That would have made sense too. When Pete Kwiatkowski talks about single high defense, he often just calls it post safety coverage, which means it's a coverage where there's a safety deep in the middle to cover the post. I drew it as the F free safety on this diagram. It could be either of them that drops back, but traditionally you think of the strong safety dropping into the box and the free safety dropping into the post.
And if I'm here representing the village idiocracy, I would note that, look, pre-snap, it looks like both of those safeties are at the same level. How would you possibly know that it's single high?
That is exactly the trick with modern defense, is that teams will usually try to be able to play either coverage against any kind of offensive formation so that they don't have to let you know before the snap which one they're doing. And
they're not required to let the offense.
They're not required to. It's not a rule.
Right.
Yeah. The Vic Fangio, who is the famous defensive coordinator who helped promote two high coverages in the NFL and was the defensive coordinator for the Eagles Super Bowl championship in 2025, is like one of the main maestros of presenting a two high coverage only for it to shift very late into a single high coverage in order to confuse the play caller, confuse the quarterback, et cetera, and encourage a inefficient choice. Specifically, like, you show too high, as we'll get into, the ideal would be to show too high, encourage the other team to run, and then shift late into single high and get a safety down in the box. And then you ensure that the offense is choosing an inefficient 3 yards in a cloud of dust option.
And so are you doing, is the particular idea there that you're presenting that with the intent to encourage the offense to run?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a huge quirk of modern football, which is that for years, everyone was like, you run to win. The best teams run the ball. And defenses have figured out it's hard to score running the ball. We want to encourage all offenses to run the ball because then they are less likely to score.
Well, let's look at a few examples of this.
So on this one, you can see Texas is in a too high shell. That's what people would call it. The shell being like the structure of how the coverage looks before it actually shifts into whatever it actually is. And they're playing against Clemson in the first round of the playoffs. And the guy on the safety on the bottom, Michael Taff, who's just above the 30-yard logo, is going to initially stay back, but then drop down late over the tight end, who's the inside receiver across from him. And so he does that. It gives Texas six guys in the box for five blockers. So it makes them tougher against the run. And then that other safety is going to drift back to the deep middle. The trick of single high coverage, as you'll see on this, is that the deep middle safety can help on anything inside, but he's not able to help outside to the corners. So your corners either need to be very good at sticking to their guy, or they have to bail and play like more of a deep zone to keep the guy in front of them. Texas chose to try to stick in tighter man coverage to the guy on bottom, and you see one of the pitfalls of single high coverage as a result. See Taff drop down very late.
I mean, it's not like that receiver wasn't covered.
He's behind. This is something that I've argued with Texas fans about with the Washington game, where Michael Penix threw a gazillion bombs over the top. Texas tried to play man coverage on Washington, which was a bad idea. And everybody was like, Penix was on fire. Penix was a golden god in that game. He was unstoppable. But if the corner is behind the receiver and there's no one deep over the top, the quarterback can throw it anywhere past the receiver. And if the receiver is good enough, he can run under the ball and catch it. If the defender is behind the receiver, the quarterback has to throw it to a specific spot underneath in order for the receiver to be able to get it. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I guess, you know, on this particular play, and I appreciate where you're coming from, but tell me what you would like that defender to do better.
You either need to be, so there's two ways to stop this play. One is to get your hip into his hip and drive him off of his line. So when the quarterback throws down the line, the receiver isn't able to run to that spot. The other is to stay in front of him. So like you're running with him, but you're more in front of him. So then he can't box you out from making the catch like the guy does here. It's not that this is poorly covered, but good quarterbacks make this throw. This is not like an extraordinary thing for a good quarterback to be able to make that throw. And he made that exact throw on Texas like three or four times in the second half on the same defender. So it's not like people often call this a 50-50 ball. For good quarterbacks and receivers, that's not a 50-50 ball. They will do that to you. It's like a good three-point shooter back in the day when people would be like, he'll miss that eventually. No, Not anymore. They will make that until you are dead. You can't just give it to them and hope they miss.
Well, go ahead.
Can we watch it one more time?
Yeah, of course you can.
I'm just going to say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a 1-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
Another trick to this is that Klubnik made that decision extremely fast, which he had to because Colin Simmons was about to be right on him. I think the way he did it was that he anticipated that Texas was going to do this. He really wanted to throw that. And as soon as he saw that Taft had come down, he was just letting it fly. He didn't even look in the middle of the field to see if it was open or closed. He saw where Taft was, and then he just was able to assume and anticipate. So this is a very high-level chess match going on in this play.
So since we're staying on Klubnik here a little bit, what is he seeing pre-snap versus what maybe PK wants him to see?
That's kind of a good question.
Thanks, Matt.
I suspect that he's looking at the alignment of maybe Jahdae Barron, who's in the nickel. They ended up moving Jahdae Barron to the nickel in the second half of this game because they're having so much trouble covering Clemson's receivers. And the weak inside linebacker, who's right where you have it frozen right here, you can see him trying to communicate to the corner. He's turning to his cornerback on his left to communicate something with him. He's really far inside. If he were going to be covering that tight end who's flexed out, he would need to get wider and deeper off the ball. And that could be a clue to the quarterback. Like, either that guy's going to bail, or he knows that the safety is going to be the one that comes down and cover that guy so he doesn't have to. So like really high-level quarterbacks will look at all these different leverages, and the defenses are trying to all present the same disguise at the same time. But if they don't, then the quarterback can pick that up and use that as a cipher.
Great. That makes sense. All right.
Yeah. For the record, this is the only game where you're going to find another team picking on Texas in single high.
Why do you think that is?
Because they were very good. Texas was very good in single high coverage last year. Extremely good. Now, Clemson is the only team that was really able to take it to them when they were playing it.
And what were some of the traits or characteristics of either personnel, talent that made Texas exceptionally good at that?
Jahdae Barron, the Thorpe Award winner at cornerback. Well, that was a big part of it. They were good at rushing the passer. A lot of teams were not able to find Manny Muhammad matched up on somebody that could actually run by him and get the ball to and identify the coverage to notice when that opportunity was there and then get the throw off in time to beat him like Clemson did. That's like a series of competency checklists that most teams couldn't check through. That Texas could also, they could put Barron on your best receiver, whether he was on the left or the right. And then you have to beat Manny Muhammad with your second best receiver. And you have to know when Texas is in the right coverage to do it. And then you have to protect your quarterback long enough to get the throw off, et cetera, et cetera. And also, if we can be frank, Texas didn't face a murderer's row of quarterbacks in passing games in 2024.
Sure.
Definitely contributed some to their lofty statistical rankings in defense. Like, they were great defense. They gave Clemson and Ohio State fits, but those are also like two of the only high-level passing attacks they faced.
So what happens here during if you're in single high, we've talked about that earlier, that we're doing that to promote or encourage a run. Walk us through what happens in a run play.
So yeah, they're in a too high look and Clemson runs the ball and Michael Taft, who's the, if you're on defense facing the offense, he's the safety on the left. He's going to sneak down into the box just at the snap. And so it looks like you're running the ball and the defense has like 4.5 guys in the box. And then all of a sudden you're running the ball and he's down there and you're outnumbered and the Texas D-line is really good. And Michael Taft is racing down and is he the one that makes the tackle?
He's definitely there at the contact. I don't know if
he's in the hole. At the running back is only 1 yard past the line of scrimmage when the safety makes contact with him, even though he was initially lined up 10 yards almost off the ball. Yeah, 11 yards even. So this is an example of the kind of trap and bait you can set in single high defense. You can also, not only can you show a too high coverage, encourage the run, and then sneak a safety down into the box, but you can do it from different angles too. Like, it doesn't have to be the same safety in the same spot. It could be either safety. They could be dropping down on the edge. They could be dropping down in the middle. You could bring the nickel over and bring him into the run fit and drop a safety to replace him. You could bring the nickel off the edge. You could do all these same things, but instead of sneaking someone into the box, you also blitz a defender. Single high lends itself to all kinds of late disguises and aggressive tactics.
So with single high, you're telling your defenders, look, regardless of what happens, one of you is going into the box.
Yeah, one of you is going down underneath.
Right.
Either into the box or somewhere else underneath to replace somebody else so that they can go into the box.
Right. Okay.
And you also, if they do throw the ball deep, you do have that deep guy who's the post safety. So the most efficient and dangerous throw to the middle of the field is covered in single high defense.
So I think the next...
You can still get a little bend, don't break. Also, if you, that last freeze frame on that video, on that example, both corners are playing a little off. So you almost get sort of a three high effect. Not exactly, because the corners are still more directly matched with their specific guy. But you can play single high as a more aggressive or as a more conservative approach. You can have everybody in tight man across the board, or you can do it as a zone and have more deep corners and defenders to discourage deep passes.
I think that's a really good transition into what I think is safe to say will probably be the next series of videos is okay. Now we understand what the safeties are doing and potentially what the quarterback is trying to see with what those safeties are doing. We need to now think about what the corners are doing. And I know that gets a lot more complicated really, really fast. But I think if we have a basic understanding of, again, what the quarterback is looking at just from a safety perspective and what those safeties are meant to be doing from a defensive perspective, we can start to then understand why corners make certain plays or certain plays are called with the corners moving forward. On behalf of young – oh, go ahead.
Well, just this as a final thought, it's important to start with the safeties and how many are deep, because that's like the most foundational piece of what a defense is doing. It's like, your safeties basically correlate to the quarterback, and the safeties are deciding on behalf of your defense, are we prioritizing the deep passing field or are we prioritizing the box? And then, we can get into what everybody else does. But everything else the defense does is dictated first by one back safety or two safeties deep.
Please join us over at InsideTexas.com. I really appreciate you being here for this. This is our attempt to make the game a little bit more fun for everybody. Thanks so much, guys.